Desire to be more like you. So bless now this time of discussion, and may we glean from each other the things that you've taught us. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh boy. I have to be honest with you guys. I thought I was only going to be teaching chord theory at this conference. And a month ago or so, I had talked to Holland and I said, you know, it'd be kind of cool if there was something about women in worship, because my husband and I travel a lot. We have a full-time music ministry. And we've come to many Calvary chapels where women were the only ones that have stepped up to the plate to do worship. So I thought it'd be cool if there was something for women in worship. And he said, that's a great idea. And last week I got our schedule. My name was on the list to teach the class. I wasn't exactly saying that I would do that. So I kind of freaked out a little bit. And then I thought, well, you know, I don't have a ton to teach on because I'm not in this exact situation. So I'm going to ask questions and open this up to discussion and get all your guys' input. And I have helping me today two women who are in the position of women worship leaders. I have Pam Snyder. She's from Ontario? Calvary Chapel, Ontario. And, of course, Mary Barrett. She's worship leader at Calvary Chapel, Merritt Island. And they're going to, if you guys could sit up in front, they're going to, like, open up the, I'll ask the question. They'll give their thoughts and ideas. And then we'll open it up for you guys to give your input. But my hope is that... I'm sorry. My hope is that we'll be able to glean from each other. And, you know, if you're on track with another lady in here, swap phone numbers and emails and get to know each other. So as things arise and in your experience with leading worship, you guys can communicate with each other. And I'm going to...
So everyone here is involved in
like, I guess we should find out.
Plays a guitar or sings.
How many women worship leaders do we have, either for women's ministry or who lead worship for women in the women's ministry or lead worship for the congregation?
And,
absolutely.
And the rest of you are in, like, the team?
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to start out with a general question then.
To them or to...
Oh, I'm going to start with you guys, and I'll let you answer first because she hasn't seen the questions yet.
Well,
and
I
you cut us off.
Did you pray already?
Good idea.
I was going to say.
Okay. Father, bless this discussion, and may everything we say and do in here just glorify your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So the first question I'm going to start off with is, no, I don't have my sheet.
Cool.
How could that be?
Maybe they have a question. Did you come in here with a, till she finds her, like with a real concern? Yeah.
Well, it's not a real concern, but I just want to ask you too, are another worship leader in the church, or you like the main worship leader?
Okay. Right now, I'm the main worship leader, and so I do the Sunday morning and the Sunday nights. Was doing a Wednesday, but we're trying to groom some folks, so we let them do the Wednesday nights, sometimes Sunday nights, because that's our home Bible study, you know what I mean, home church fellowship Bible study, and most of the church members come to that the evening. So
so you're leaving the whole team and everything all on the worship?
Basically, yes. Right now, we have a gentleman, actually Malcolm's son, is the head of the worship ministry, and I'm under him. And it serves as also, it kind of helps me where I don't have to do the one-on-one with very sensitive musicians and vocalists and stuff, where they go to him to deal with things. So they don't hate me. So they don't get mad at me, and I'm leading them in worship, and they can't.
She told me I'm flat.
You know, and so they kind of do that to protect me. And but I choose the songs and do the practice and stuff.
I am the main worship leader at our church, and we have three teams that are developed. I'm leading all of them right now, only because it's almost there.
Stepped up to the plate.
It's almost there. Yeah, we're getting there. I got a lot of, I do Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night, but I have a high school group that does worship once in a while. Mm-hmm. I have another group that does worship. I have, but they're not to the point where I can just say, here's a team and go for it. Yeah, they're almost there. They're almost there. Mm-hmm. And my husband is over the sound ministry, and we work together as a team, so when I have to deal with male issues, he deals with them. And I really don't have to deal with male issues. It's really women issues. But and then I do have to deal with the, I just feel like speaking the truth to, we need it as women. Sometimes mm-hmm. we can be really weird. And I'm a woman too. I mean, we can be really sensitive about things. And I just love what Malcolm said. You know, get rid of that sensitivity. You know, we don't need that. But it's a scary thing, but I have a pastor who's just wonderful, and he's there to support me too. He's really neat, and so when there's issues, my husband and I go to him together. I always go to my husband and I go to him together. So.
Mm-hmm. Ivana?
Yes. Here's the first question. As a woman worship leader, what seems to be the toughest obstacle you face, and how do you overcome that obstacle? And you guys can answer from either the perspective of leading worship for a mixed congregation or leading worship in a for women's ministry.
Hormones. Sorry.
Hormones.
We're on mic, right? We're recorded?
Yeah.
Sorry. That was Mary.
You want to take that one?
What was the question?
Main obstacle.
As a woman worship leader, what seems to be the toughest obstacle you face, and how do you overcome that obstacle?
You know, I can tell you what I continue to deal with is that I am up front, and my husband is behind. And not all of you, they're going to have husbands that are in the summers, but that's a hard thing for me. It's really hard because he's the head of my house, and he's the head of me. And it's really hard because people, I see me up front. And so I'm always praying, you know, Lord, may they not see. It's just a hard struggle. It's a personal struggle that I go through as far as being over that. But it's neat that I have my pastor, too, because he helps in that area. He helps in that area. You know, he's the worship leader of the church. That's what I'm told in Calvary Chapel, though. The pastor is actually the worship leader of the church, and we're just all in sync with what the Holy Spirit does through him. So that's my main obstacle. Now it's just that struggle that I have is, you know, you're putting that role.
I think, well, with me, I'm intense about everything, so at the moment that could be the main obstacle in that. But I think songs, song selection, keeping the songs fresh, keeping the band fresh, because you can get into a rote kind of thing, or you can kind of play the song without even thinking twice about it. And trying to involve every generation that's represented there in front of you, not leaving the elderly people behind and destroying their hymns, or not even using their hymns and changing their hymns and then reaching forward and trying to keep up with the younger generation, and then the in-betweens. And so I'm always, because every week I have to have a song list, mm-hmm. and that's the biggest struggle with me, is the songs. You guys are nodding, so I'm sure you guys face that as well. Finding good, mm-hmm. upbeat songs. You can write a whole load of slow songs. They're easier to write.
Yeah.
A good, upbeat. So.
Who else has any thoughts about obstacles that they face?
I think as women, a lot of times, one of the issues is dressing appropriately, because we're from the front, or being with I'm in the women's ministry, and I'm also in the congregational with them. And so there's other women that I've seen there, but like, how do you approach that in regards to your team? One, in the sense that maybe you're talking to another woman, or you're their friend, but yet also you don't want them to, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's another question we'll address more in detail a little later.
I think the enemy comes against me in a spirit of jealousy. And sometimes to other women, sometimes to men. Like, so that's the issue I deal with. Because, you know, you're just in your gift that God has called you, and then people get jealous.
I totally understand. That was the fifth point of Malcolm's study. Okay. That was a really convicting study for me. And I have to be honest that I came short on all these points. And I have to say that each point has been a problem for me, especially of late, point two, artist creativity becoming the drive. And with me, I was going into a kind of a dry time musically with no inspiration. It was like kind of bumming me out. But as Malcolm was speaking, it's my drive to be creative that was bumming me out. But my drive needs to be the Holy Spirit. So that really put it back into perspective for me. It doesn't matter where I am musically with inspiration, creativity. What matters is, you know, what's going on in my heart. Am I on track with the Holy Spirit? So that totally convicted me. Yeah, number four, envy and strife. I'm going to jump to another question, because four and five of Malcolm's study, ladies seem to struggle with a lot, and that's envy and strife and gossip, because women speak so many more words than men, and they're just a little bit more vocal about things. See, how do we deal with women in the group in conflict as far as gossip, envy, and strife? And like, as worship leaders, do you catch this happening in your group? Mm-hmm. What do you guys do to deal with it? We'll start with Mary this time.
Pray.
Do you actually have to approach them?
Sometimes because again, my position, you know, I just really try to be careful, because I tend to think that I'm a catalyst to throw something and it hits the fan, mm-hmm. and goes everywhere. And it's like, oh, I'm the chaos. I mean, it ends up straightening out, but I don't want to be the catalyst mm-hmm. for that. So I shy away from things, mm-hmm. and I pray quietly, and the Lord sometimes, through circumstance, works it out. Mm-hmm. But when it's starting to deal personally with me, mm-hmm. that it does become a major, major struggle. And I would go to the Lord about it and pray and ask God, deal with those things that's in my heart and expose it to Him in the light. And He'll give me things, like mm-hmm. the same scriptures that Malcolm spoke of. Love fervently. Mm-hmm. That was one word I would receive. I'd go, okay. Mm-hmm. So the next time I see that person, I would just look at him and love him. Try to just fervently love him. And so he would give me things. Now, sometimes it's still there, because some things do linger. You can't just, you know, you try to. You do apologize. Sometimes you go, okay, you humble yourself, and even if you don't feel like you're wrong, you take the wrong position. And you feel this healing come over, and you're like, great, got to get back in my heart, and I'm moving along. And the next week, something's not right again.
Mm-hmm.
So some things do take time, but I would just encourage you to put on love and to pray a lot. And the timing of it, usually the Lord will give you something, or the Lord will just work it out. But as long as you keep the sword and the anger out of your heart, see, again, what he says, you're a Christian first. And these are personal issues, and you got to keep that sword out of your heart and the anger out of your heart, and because it takes two to tango, you know. Sometimes we end up stumbling in it, so we got to keep ourselves clean.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what she said. Obviously, prayer and God's timing and leading on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But one of the verses that I found in my life is when we speak the truth in love to one another. It's needed, right. And we kind of back down in that area.
Yeah.
We are afraid to speak the truth in love. And I've had some really good friends that come to me and all this. This is many, many years ago, but I had a really good friend that was on the worship team. She came to me and she said, well, when you said that about your husband, even though my husband and I were like coarse jesting, which I'm not supposed to do, but it was just kind of funny stuff to us. But she came to me, and I had been in the Proverbs that morning, and the word, I'm going to twist the scripture around, but the word said, to receive criticism. I mean, to be the Lord prepared my heart. A fool doesn't accept criticism. So she called me up. She goes, let's go to breakfast. I have to tell you something. We went to breakfast, and she said, when you said that, this little thing about your husband, it really made me feel like, you were dishonoring me. And I started to cry, because I know I was kidding, but that's how she took it. Mm-hmm. And so I called my husband, and he said, no, not at all. And I go, but you know what, that's what somebody else thought. So that was, that really helped me in my life to watch what they say in front of the people about my husband. And, she's out of church. She knows we're in situations where he's doing this down, things are going wrong, and he's mm-hmm. and I have to speak to him with respect, and I think he is my husband, and so easily we could say, come on, because he's your, I don't know, you guys might know like that, but anyhow, speaking the truth in love, and don't be afraid. And what Mary said is so true. If we can get rid of the hurt and the anger in us when something has gone awry on our team, and we go to that person because we love them and because we want to help them grow, then God's going to honor them. But it's not going to work if we go to them when we're angry. It's not going to work. So God's timing and prayer is the key here. But we need to take those steps as well and go to each other, because we can grow up. That's how we grow up. Speaking the truth.
Well, I just wanted to suggest too that you talk about the big lesson this year about the difference between friendship and ministry. Because that's been a really important lesson this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to share that.
how to like separate the two, or
just because sometimes it's so easy to just get into this path of, well, we're friends and everything's hunky dory, but those are usually the people that you end up having problems with. And to differentiate between, okay, this is ministry, this isn't about a friendship,
because you're having to work out things regarding ministry.
Well, when I'm on stage and we're working out a song list, I'm business. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, folks,
you gotta focus on,
can we just move towards this goal and work? Okay, you're flat here, just lift up a little bit. Change the harmony. And it's not personal. You shouldn't be able to, little tiddly-deedy steps. Would you mind? Well, please don't take this wrong. It's like we're working. And so with me, I'm on work mode. And I wish everybody was here that are helps, that are singers, most of the singers, and they aren't leading it per se. That if we could remember that we are working towards a goal here, and let's put our feelings aside because we have a goal. And the friendships should be comfortable enough and with each other, that we you know what I mean? I'm missing the words.
No, I think you're
doing, we should be comfortable enough with our friendships,
yeah,
that it's like, oh, she said that to me, and not be so touchy. Remember the ministry, the people that we're going to be singing, and the Lord who we're going to be ministering to. That's the goal.
Not that you guys out there anymore.
Yeah. Questions, comments?
I feel like Pastor get jealous of me. So how do you deal with that? I wear now a bracelet that says agape, so when I raise my hand, I just try to, it helps my heart to stay humble.
Is it an associate pastor?
Well, I'm not really seen there anymore, but yeah. I just felt that there was even that, it's hard to explain, but it's just the enemy. It's not...
Definitely.
I know it's not that. This is definitely... And then they kind of want to put what God's doing in a box sometimes because they're uncomfortable, you know, that a woman has a gift for her life, an anointing, you know. But then the wise pastor will put you under him and you will submit, and then he will reap in the harvest, you know. So, yeah.
I always try to always take the lowest place.
Okay.
Wow. Always. I had a couple of, I was not at a Calvary Chapel. I was at another fellowship, and this is where I was growing, you know, my first 10 years, if you will, as a worship leader. And there's a couple of guys in the band, the bass player and electric guitar player. They had issues with me big time. I was naive enough, I was not mature enough, I wasn't strong enough to say, dudes, I'm sorry, you know, I'm under the pastor and he says I'm the worship leader, goodbye, I'm going to replace you. I was doing circles, trying to please him and serve him and help him and tell him I'm just a song starter. I am not over you spiritually. I get to just go bring and start the first line and we're all in this as a group. But they just could not get that past their heads, their pride. So I just bathed it with prayer, and I just kept trying to, you know, lower myself, and the Lord honored that. He just blessed it. And you can't go wrong with that when you just humble yourself. And
I personally can. I learn a lot from the guys on my team because they're good. They're good at what they do. And they'll say, "Have you considered trying it this way?" And I'll go, "No, but show me." You know. And so,
Be teachable.
You're right. Yeah, we need to be teachable as leaders. We need to be allowing other people to show us. I'm always wanting to learn. And I like what she says. The high road is the low road. It is. And it's hard when you know the other person has, you know, done the wrong. But you know what? If you always take the low road, God will bless that. He always blesses that. When we humble ourselves, He blesses that.
It's a blessing to hear your hearts. Because half of the battle is just knowing our position. I think the greatest thing when I came to know the Lord was to know that God has us in a good place, that we need covering. Mm-hmm. From the fall, God knew, because of what Grandma Eve did, we needed that covering. And I think you've already got to that place where you already have submitted yourself to the coverings that God has ordained over us. And so you, because of that humbleness and your humble hearts, God is able to use you, and you acknowledge your coverings, and it's a good place, because we know what we're capable of doing without our covering. But it's very refreshing ministering to hear that.
What I also do is if people come up to me and they have problems or they're complaining, I'll say, "You spoke to Malcolm?
Mm-hmm.
You go to Malcolm. Talk to him about it."
Pastors
are, and so I always point them to Malcolm, and then they'll either go, "Okay," they get scared and they straighten up, or they know who to go to. And I always, like we say,
defer to the covering.
Go to the boss. Don't go to, you know.
Exactly. Now I've been talking to some worship leaders and pastors about this subject, and one thing they've always brought up is how different the dynamic is with a male worship leader and a female worship leader. Now there's all different thoughts, and one of them is that the worship leader needs to be a pastor as well. That's one thought. But in many churches and Bible studies, there was only a woman who has stepped up to the plate. This has recently happened in the last few years at Costa Mesa, where a woman is now facilitating and leading Chuck's worship. And he came before the board and said, "If anybody can show me in Scripture where it says a woman can't lead worship, then, you know, I'll have this lady step in." But she's done a wonderful job. And the point I was trying to get here is the dynamic being so different. The covering that Mary was talking about is so important. If a male and a pastor, then it's a good thing to have the woman worship leader have a pastor that is over her. So, I mean, that's so cool. You can refer people to your pastor, and it really takes the pressure off the woman.
The male worship leader who happens to be a pastor needs to be submitted to the pastor. I mean, so what if he's got a title? Excuse me. I mean that in perspectively. Because A worship leader is a servant of the church, and he's supposed to be helping the ministry of the word. So the word takes precedence, and we are helps, and that's our function. I'm blessed because my pastor is a musician, and so he knows the mindset. He understands. He's been around quite a bit, so he understands me. And working together for so many years, you get to know each other, and I'll know his mannerisms. Oh, I'll sense, okay, he's going to ask for a song. I just know it. True enough, he'll come up to me and go, I go, sure. And if I know it, I'll play it. And so that's a blessing. See, that's part of being a family, you know, in that fellowship. You become family.
My pastor, when we first started, we're a break off of Chino Valley, and we started Ontario, so 7 years ago we started, and he tried to get a men's team together because nobody was stepping up to play, and he, bless his heart, he listens to this, but and he knows he doesn't have rhythm, so he could play the guitar, he couldn't sing, so he had other guys trying to sing, and he would have to count. You could see him counting when he's playing, you know, and it's just so cute. But I really appreciate the fact that he tried that, because he saw for a good 6 months the struggle of what a team was all about. And he got to see that. And he tells me, you know what, that's why God had me do that for 6 months, just so I could understand what you're going through. So that was kind of neat, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're going to jump to a different subject. And the question is, what are guidelines/safeguards that you can establish when communicating with the men on your worship team or the pastor? Kind of a touchy question that people don't necessarily like to talk about, but I think it's so important, because so much scandal has happened because people weren't approaching this issue. So do you have thoughts on that?
Well, right now I am the only other full-time staff person in our church. So I can't work out of the church. This is what my pastor and I have decided. I work out of my home, and I've got a wonderful computer thing, and I just do all this stuff, you know, back and forth, because we just even don't want to have the appearance of evil. We just don't want to do that. And so if I have to go down there, I'll sometimes call somebody and say, hey, will you go down there with me? I got to spend a few, 3 or 4 hours, or you know, I'll just have somebody else. And the same thing with the men on my worship team. We want to work out something, make sure that pastor's there, make sure somebody else is there. We have about 400 or 500 people in our church now, and it's just not big enough for more staff. Eventually it will be, and then it'll be okay, but that's how we work out things right now. We always want to be above reproach. We just don't want to give room for the enemy at all.
Well, for some reason I understood it in another way.
Okay.
Just relating to the men. I always try to have respect for them, even though they're, you know, we're peers, and it's really cool because they've never had an issue with me. I'm kind of like one of the guys, because I grew up playing with my boy cousins, so I've been around. I'm always just one of the guys all the time, and I'm the only girl player. So I don't know. It's pretty fun. I just try to really respect them, and then their gifts. Like one of them may be strong. I mean, he went to school. He learned, you know, classical. I mean, he can play a lot of things. I always defer to him. Defer? And I'll say, so how does this work as far as arranging and things like that? And so try to just make them feel important. I mean, they are. But they're like my brothers, too. The appearance of evil thing, we all know that. You know, you just be careful. Is there more to that?
Well, let's get some perspective from you guys. And this goes for team members. Team members, you know, your interaction with guys, what guidelines, safeguards have you set up?
You always have a third person. You have to have a little honor their spouse and just be aware of those things.
Absolutely. My pastor, Chuck Smith, won't be found alone with it. Another female. He's always just been above reproach about making sure there's somebody there. That's why you always see one of his guys with him, just in case, you know, he's approached by a female to be, you know, to pray with him or whatever. There's always another pastor standing right by. I always thought that was good. Any more thoughts?
like for me, I email, our like choir email, and I think that's good. It's okay, you know, it's just for some feedback. But at the same time, I pray for a husband. I pray someday I have a husband, and he could go and talk to them. You know, that would be my thing. I would just have him go talk to them. Mm-hmm. And just say, you know, we're here to bless you, da, da, da. And then also if you need to talk to them about it, you can already feedback to them or advice. Mm-hmm.
I think know your boundaries. You just set boundaries. Even like affection, you know, we try to do the side by side kind of thing, or the high five, you know, kind of thing. But I know the spouses of the guys, and so I try to just really get close to them as well, so they won't feel like, you know. The enemy will always try to do something.
Yeah.
So you try to cut that off, you know, as much as possible. And even the emailing thing, always keep it business.
Yeah.
You know, to try not to be personal on the email or even share your feelings. You know,
be careful what icons you put in email.
Yeah. Keep it straight, you know, bless you, you know, or and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Instead of I love you kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys know that you understand it between you two, but somebody can go and go, fuel.
And there's another, I have another dynamic where I have three of the guys on the worship team, their wives do not know the Lord, and they do not come to church.
Wow.
And so we've got men praying for them big time, you know, and just they're accountable to men to help build them up and stuff, but wow, it's just really a hard dynamic. So when I have to call over their house, I have to always be aware, and I use it as a time to minister to the wives, you know, because they don't know the Lord. You know, I'll just say something. Thank you so much for allowing your husband to do this. Or, you know, I just encourage the wives so that they realize, you know, even though they're not in the Lord, they're allowing their husband to do this as part of them helping the kingdom, even though they don't know.
When I lead worship for women's events where I'm pulling a band together, I had a lady tell me, get to know the musician's spouse. And it's mostly, you know, male players that are playing the rhythm instruments. So, when I call and say, hi, Leslie, how are you doing? Talk to them a little bit, you know. Get to know them. And I think all that just makes things more comfortable in the whole situation. Let's talk about dress code, especially for women. In your church, has there ever been a guideline set, a written guideline set? Or you probably
haven't. We just always know. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's kind of like, why does it even have to be an issue, you know? It's like,
it is an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had this problem before.
Yeah. I think I just would not really dress up on Sunday morning, but Malcolm used to be wearing suits. Sometimes he still does. But in the summer, he'll wear a shirt. And but I always try to be, you know, below the knee or at the knee thing.
Oh, well, I think the only dress code we have is our pastor asked that we don't wear shorts. And I wouldn't wear
I wouldn't wear this.
All I'm wearing today, but I wouldn't wear this. And I have one this recently. What's that word called? Blink? What's it called in there?
It's like bling.
Bling bling. I heard somebody say, oh, they came in one day, they go, oh, you got bling bling. And I'm like, what is bling bling? And I guess it's like, you know, I don't know what it's like, flashy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so now I'm like, Lord, now I don't have to pray. I need to talk to this person because bling bling is not in the Bible. I mean, I don't think you want bling bling. So that's the newest thing I have to deal with. I've been in prayer for the last 2 weeks about that. So.
It happened to me. Go ahead.
Did you have bling
bling? I showed up. I found this really cute skirt at TJ Maxx. And it looked like scales at the bottom. And it was white. I have a white skirt. So I show up at church before everybody else comes, right? I'm there early and turn off the lights. And I got up on stage and I went,
uh-oh.
The light just like, and I live, you know, 30 minutes away. So I'm going, oh, so I just, Lord, I'm sorry. He knew that I didn't do that on purpose. Well, anyway, I mean, I must have had half a dozen of them, both services. You look so cute. You were sparkly. But you know, they loved it. It wasn't like, was I the distraction? No, they just thought it was kind of cute. But you think I'm going to wear that skirt again? Mm-hmm. No. But it was it ended up being a neat thing.
I was just going to say, go ahead.
Yes. 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 That was one of my comments. I was had to approach one of the really young girls. She's not on our worship team anymore, but she never would wear a skirt, a slip, and you could just see the outline of everything.
Yeah.
So the worship pastor asked me to approach her and say, "You can't sing today unless you can get a slip."
Oh,
so she didn't sing that day. And then, but after, it wasn't very long before she wasn't seen with us. I don't know if that was the issue, but our pastor's wife is a very modest dresser and very concerned about our appearance on stage. And in women's, even with an audience of 500 women, of what we wear, whether we're wearing jeans, whether she wants us to wear jeans. So we just take our, you know, direction from her. If she feels like the style right then is too tight or clingy tops or any of those things, she lets us know. She doesn't have problems speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
And not even for us necessarily, but she says whoever we're going to pick, because I lead the worship for women's ministry, whoever I'm going to choose to worship with me, she makes sure that I address dress code with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. When I started doing worship, I was worship, anyways, he would tell us ladies that when we, our tops, we should be layered. That we should be layered, and that when we have our hair, we should be to the side, up here, around the entrance.
Yeah.
Eyes to the chest.
Right.
Down here, that they should be better. So he really gave us some good guidelines.
Yeah.
You know, or one of the sisters on the team, that she layers herself because she says that she looks like a light bulb. Or like a Christmas tree, you know, she just is so excited to worship the Lord. But you know, you've got to be late. So.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially with the hands.
I don't know for you guys, but for me, God like has this like this thumb on me. Like I count, like some girls will wear really cute shoes and see that, right? And I just cannot. God doesn't allow it. I can't even wear a necklace; it'll fall off. You know, for some reason, He has me at a place, maybe because my pasta was more vain, you know, but he has me where you have to be really, like, none of you, all of him, which is what it was supposed to be, but, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, just even I wear flat shoes, it's just because he's disciplined me that way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny how, like, some girls, they can do it, and they're fine, you know, and God's probably fine with it, but I don't know if you guys have that. But,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you, even from a different perspective, my husband and I travel full time, and we play at a different church every Sunday. And when you go from church to church, the dress code is different in any church. Some churches are shirts and shorts, although as a husband and wife team, we would never choose to dress that way in a church service. We've always said we're going to dress not fancy,
conservative,
but
respectful.
Yeah, respectful, and just look nicer than the congregation, so that you know we can just be above reproach in that way. But some churches are shirts and shorts church, and we lead worship at Costa Mesa, and I would say that our crowd there is mostly 45 and older, and we've actually, you know, Pastor Chuck has actually drawn boundaries for us on our dress code. Ladies can't be sleeveless, no washed out blue jeans, no nice pants, skirts below the knees, and
both of us.
But the thing that was so nice about them drawing up that guideline is there's no questions.
Yeah.
And when we call people on the phone that are going to be joining us for worship, we can say, this is the dress code at Costa Mesa. These are the boundaries that have been drawn. And it's so comfortable. We don't have to guess if they're going to show up with anything questionable. We just say this is the dress code.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't made a dress code, boundaries are so nice. That's why they give boundaries to children, because it gives them a sense of comfort to know they can work inside those boundaries and not get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a good idea.
Yep.
We had an issue with that one year at our church for our Easter choir. We started a choir and didn't have any rules, boundaries set, because it was a new thing for our church. And we had probably 10 men and about 40 women up there. And had one small, petite, beautiful, one of the greatest worshipers in the church, but she was just bouncing around up there. She'd get totally into music. And so the next, when Christmas choir came along, we, you know, right the rehearsal before
the Christmas service, excuse the men to go home or wait for your wives outside or whatever, and just specifically talk to the wives and, or to the women in the choir, and just gave them boundaries, gave them rules. Didn't single anybody out.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good.
Yeah, it was sent to us in a letter. You know, it was sent to anybody who's ever led worship there in a letter, so it was a real comfortable one.
Can I tell you all a funny story?
Yeah.
That's neat. That sometimes, a lot of times when you want to address an issue, you just make it general with everybody, the groups, and just pray that the person will pick up on it.
Yeah.
One time I was a guest singer somewhere. It was kind of impromptu. I was going with my pastor's wife, and they said, hey, you know, you can sing a song. So the worship leader came up to me and was sitting with me, and I could tell she was feeling me out. She was giving me the ropes kind of thing and letting me know about the dress code and all this kind of thing. She kept on and on and on. I looked at her. You have nothing to worry about. Okay? So I show up. I was like this. She was more exposed than I. And I was kind of cracking up at it. Because, I mean, you know what I mean? Practice what you preach, you know?
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny that she was running me through the ringer, and then she showed up with a low-cut shirt, you know?
That is funny.
I didn't say anything else nice.
You need to beware of the tight jeans, too.
Yeah, real, real
it,
tight.
It like, really goes to every area mm-hmm. of the body.
Yeah. And low-cut jeans and where your shirts are coming down mm-hmm. to, because the style of the day is low-cut jeans and the high-cut t-shirts. Yeah.
Raise your hands to worship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, that's yes. right. Good point.
That's true.
Well, this class needs to end now. I wanted to give a plug for my next class, which is going to be chord theory. And if you're if you play piano or guitar, you'll probably benefit from it. We're going to learn how to transpose into any key, all the tricks for using your capo, all sorts of fun little tricks. It's next door, that class there. So I'll close this in prayer and dismiss. For the next class, you can bring your guitar as well. Father, I just thank you so much for this time where we could glean from each other. And I pray that we could be women of our reproach, that we would be women of integrity, and that everything we say and do will glorify you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks for seeing us.